I would like to dedicate this evening's Divrei Torah to the Ilui HaNeshama of Rebbetzin Toby Schreier, Toiva Bas Reb Shapsi Halevi, whose yard site is this week. And obviously the Schreier family is a mainstay of our community. And Rabbi Schreier, Yibadal L'chaim Tovim V'aruchim, should continue to be an inspiration to all of us. And the family should only know simchas. Her neshama should have an aliyah from our Divrei Torah. So as we know, we are just a very few short days away from Rosh Hashanah, Aseres Yemei Tshuva, and Yom HaKippurim. As we approach the Yomim HaNoraim, we have a basic premise. We have a basic presumption. And that is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu not only yearns and languishes for our process of Tshuva, that's what we speak about every day in the Slichos, it's what we talk about the entire day, Rosh Hashanah and Yom HaKippurim. So not only does HaKadosh Baruch Hu pine and yearn for our Tshuva, but we also have an assumption that the Ribbono Shel Olam is encouraging, that he is supportive, that he is reassuring of all those who wish to engage in the process of tshuva as well. We say it in the Davening Atah Nosein Yad LaPoshim. That means HaKadosh Baruch Hu has an outstretched, an expansive hand. The Ribbono Shel Olam facilitates and he promotes this process of tshuva for all of us to be involved in. V'yemincha pshuta l'kabel shavim. And your hand, so to speak, is outstretched to gather all of us who are here to be engaged in this process of tshuva as we know it. For those who may not have a sheet, there are plenty of them on the bima. I'm sorry that I didn't have the opportunity to post it here, but for anyone who would like it later on, I'm happy to email it to you. I'll post my email address in the chat, and you will be able to have it as well. Everything will be translated, so you have no need to worry at all. You will be able to follow. But for now, we'll have to make do with what we have. So, as we know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Nosein Yad LaPoshim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Yemino Pshuta L'Kabel Shavim. The Ribbono Shel Olam wants very much that we should be involved in the process of tshuva, that we should take advantage of the gift of tshuva. And that is really what we are all trying to figure out how to properly do at this time of year. And that same vein, along going with that same theme, we find numerous examples throughout the great leaders of all the millennia of Jewish history. We find that they have tried valiantly to create all kinds of mechanisms to save the sinner from shame, to save the sinner from embarrassment and some kind of humiliation as we try to encourage the sinner to do tshuva. So we're just going to go through a few very interesting examples that we find throughout the pages of Chazal and the Rishonim, where they tried valiantly to make opportunity for the sinner to feel comfortable once again in the community. One example, as we have here in the first entry on the source sheet, is Maseches Sota Daf Lamed Beis Amud Beis, where the Gemara tells us, Amar Reb Shimon Ben Yochai. Reb Shimon Ben Yochai was of the opinion, why is it that our davening every day was configured in this very unusual manner? Why is it that we have a design of a silent, of a quiet Shmona Esrei, where each one says it or whispers it to themselves, almost to the point that no one else should be able to hear them? Why was the Shmona Esrei designed in that way? Wouldn't it make more sense if we're having a conversation with God that we should actually address Him, we should talk to Him? Why are we quiet? And the Gemara there says, the reason for Tefillah Belachash is Kedei Shelo Levayesh Es Ovrei Aveira. Rashi explains, HaMisvadim Al Aveira Shebiyadam. We have an assumption that most people in their Shmona Esrei every day, which is a fascinating assumption, most people will make a confession as they say their Shmona Esrei. And as a result of that, we want that no one should be humiliated, that no one should be embarrassed. We're concerned. What's going to happen if I vindicate myself in the middle of Shmona Esrei and someone else overhears my confession? If somebody else overhears my conversation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And as a result of that, the Gemara says, we made a takana, we designed it in such a way that everyone recites Shmona Esrei quietly as not to embarrass or bring shame to one who wants to confess to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in their tefillah. Similarly, we have a Mishnah Maseches Gittin, where the Mishnah tells us if you have a contractor, if you have an architect, who is involved in some kind of act of theft, and the Gemara says that he stole a beam, he stole a brick, and then he ended up taking it to his next job, or to his home, and he builds it into the framework of the house. And now time goes on and he feels terrible for what he did, and he wants to do tshuva, and he wants to return that which he caused a loss to somebody else. So what do we tell such a person? Imagine if he comes and he shows up at the rabbi's house and he asks him, how do I do tshuva? I have $1 million house I just built, a $3 million house I just built, $5 million mansion I just built, and it just comes to my attention that I stole something that I ended up using in the construction of this house. What do I do now? So the rabbi says, look, the halacha always is, v'heshev es hagzela asher gazal. The only way to do tshuva for something that we stole is to give it back. So you're telling me I have to take apart the whole house? Because this is something that I use for the foundation of the house. So I have to take apart the whole house in order to do tshuva? Who will ever do tshuva if that's what's expected of them? And therefore the Gemara says that we make a takana. It's called the takanas hashavim. It's called the institution that helps encourage the one who wants to do tshuva. And we say, in this scenario, all you need to do in order to atone for your sin is pay back the money. Because if we're going to obligate you to take apart your whole house, it's going to turn people away from doing tshuva. And the Gemara says we put a great emphasis on trying however we can to encourage people to be involved in the gift of tshuva. And therefore we are going to bypass the regular rule. So much so that the Gemara tells us as well, based on a Mishnah Maseches Bava Metzia, but the Rambam fleshes it out, and the Rambam says we have an iser of onas devarim. We are not allowed to cause pain to somebody else by using our words. Now obviously that means we're not allowed to speak lashon hara, we're not allowed to speak rechilos, we're familiar with that. But onas devarim means something beyond that. Onas devarim means when we drive people crazy. Onas devarim is when we say something that we know is going to get on the nerves of the other person. What is the example that the Mishnah gives of onas devarim? And the Rambam here spells it out. Writes the Rambam, im haya bal tshuva, if you have somebody who's a chozer b'tshuva, and that can mean many different things. It doesn't mean somebody who was not religious and now is religious. That's one type of chozer b'tshuva. But it should mean all of us. We are all balei tshuva. We go through the process of tshuva every year. We've done it many times. And we all have things that we've done wrong. We all have different things that we need to correct, that we need to try to work on. So we are all considered to be balei tshuva. If you dare, says the Rambam, go back to that person who successfully did a process of tshuva, and now you remind them of the horrific acts that they were engaged in beforehand, says the Rambam, that is a prohibition of onas devarim. How dare you remind a person of something they've done wrong when all they've tried to do since that time is rectify the mistake? And therefore we have many examples throughout Chumash and throughout the Gemara where we do whatever we can to encourage people to do tshuva. We don't want them to be embarrassed. We don't want them to be ashamed. And therefore we will do whatever we can. Atah nosein yad laposhim. V'yimincha pshuta l'kabel shavim. God's hand is outstretched. God encourages us. God supports us. He is reassuring to all of us, because all he wants is that we take advantage of this great gift of tshuva. There is a riveting discussion that broke out 1,000 years ago, and it can be found in the writings of Rabbeinu Gershom Maor Hagola. Rabbeinu Gershom was known as the light of the exile. Rashi, in fact, writes in one place that Rabbeinu Gershom was the father of all of Ashkenazic Jewry, and Rashi says, Kulanu Talmidim v'Talmidei Talmidav. All of us, Rashi includes himself, all of Rashi and the Balei Atosfos, all of the greats of Ashkenazic Jewry that we rely on to this very day, consider themselves students of Rabbeinu Gershom. So Rabbeinu Gershom had an amazing discussion in one of his tshuvas, and he writes about somebody who became an apostate, somebody who decided to go renegade, somebody who went off, and he went to Shmad, and he started to serve Avodah Zarah, and he was deeply involved in another religion. And then says Rabbeinu Gershom that this person, for some reason, became re-engaged with his previous religion that he was once a part of. And he once again understands that it's time to be chozer v'tshuva, and he wants to be involved with the Jewish religion once again. Happens to be, this individual was a Kohen. And the question then became, does this Kohen have a right to get the first aliyah in shul? as Kohanim are supposed to get? And does the Kohen have a right, is it justifiable to allow him the license of being Nosei Eskapov? Is he allowed to duchen on Yom Tov? Now that's a very difficult thing. Imagine you're going to tell a Kohen who his whole life understood that he had certain rights and privileges, and now you're going to tell him that he's not allowed to do so. We strip him of his authority. We strip him of his ability to serve as a Kohen. This was a question that was sent or discussed in the tshuva of Rabbeinu Gershom Maor HaGola. Parenthetically, just so happens to be, the Rishonim write, that Rabbeinu Gershom had a son who went off and became an apostate. Rabbeinu Gershom had a son who was involved in Shmad. We don't really know the details of the story, but it says that Rabbeinu Gershom sat Shiva for 14 days on his son. The way the Or HaZeruah quotes the story is that he sat Shiva for 14 days when his son became a Meshumad, not when his son died. He sat Shiva for 14 days because he said it's a tragic loss of a child. Not just spiritually, but physically, he said, I don't know what's going to be with my child. So Rabbeinu Gershom perhaps was more sensitive to some of these issues. I'm sure objectively he understood that we have to figure out how to deal with such people anyway. But he was perhaps more sensitive to this issue because of his own personal story. It's hard to psychoanalyze what the Rishonim felt and why it is that they said what they did. But this is a known story. It's a known fact that Rabbeinu Gershom had a son who became a Meshumad. In fact, Rabbeinu Gershom, as quoted by the Maharam Rutenberg, by some of the other Chachmei Ashkenaz, writes that if somebody reminds a Baal Tshuva of the mistakes that they've made in their past, Rabbeinu Gershom said that person needs to be put into Cheirem. In our community, or in the Jewish community today, we have very few things that land a person in Cheirem. So if you have a spouse who's unwilling to give a get or to receive a get, so that's considered to be a situation of igun. That's a horrific thing to do. Maybe in such a situation, after hearing both sides and understanding really who's right, who's wrong, maybe in such a case we put an individual into cheirem. But it's very unusual. And Rabbeinu Gershom said one of the reasons why he would feel that someone is deemed put into cheirem, excommunicated from the community, is because they go back to a Baal Tshuva and remind them of their horrible past. So this is something that he was obviously very sensitive to. And Rabbeinu Gershom goes through the issue here, and he wants to know whether or not he has the ability. Oh, for those who are on Zoom, all 120 of you, somebody just posted the source sheet. So thank you to whoever just did that. And you can all follow along. So Rabbeinu Gershom Maor HaGola, as you'll see in number Dalit on the source sheet, you can see that Rabbeinu Gershom goes through this issue and tries to figure out whether it's justifiable to allow a person to then duchen or to get the first aliyah after they had an experience being a meshumad, an apostate. Rabbeinu Gershom writes the following: Af al pi shechata, even though this person did a terrible sin, Kivan she'asa tshuva ro'i lalos leduchan v'lisa kapav. Once he does tshuva, he has every right to be the Kohen that he once was before this aveira, before this happened. Which is a beautiful statement. But then Rabbeinu Gershom goes further. Look at number Dalit. Hilkach. Ein lanu raya lo min ha-mikra v'lo min ha-mishnah leposlo. He says, I cannot find the source that says why this person should be disqualified from doing his job as a Kohen. Ella, he says, sheyesh lanu siyua min ha-mikra u-min ha-mishnah shelo leposlo. What I do know is that I have much support from Chumash and from Chazal to prove the point that we cannot excommunicate this person, that we cannot allow this Baal Tshuva to be an outlier, that we cannot reject him from doing his job, because after all, he has done Tshuva. And what right do we have after a person does Tshuva to tell them that they are not accepted into the community? And most fundamentally, he says, let's look what he says in the next line in number Dalit, Va'om nimtzes ata marpe yedeim shabali tshuva. Imagine how much you are going to alienate a Baal Tshuva if this is the reaction, if this is the response that we have. Imagine how estranged they will feel. Lo nachon lasos kein. What right do you have to make somebody who's sincerely interested in the process of tshuva, what right do you have to tell that person that they are not welcome? What right do you have to dare say to that person that you don't believe that their tshuva is sincere? It's the Ribono Shel Olam that will decide whether that tshuva is acceptable. V'im tomar lo yala l'duchan. If you're going to tell a Kohen who's about tshuva that he cannot duchen, v'lo yikr b'torah tchila, maharer b'libo v'shmad. All he's going to think about is, look how horrible I lived a life, look what I did. And he's never going to get over it. V'oila l'osa busha, oila l'osa klima, v'yimna milasos tshuva. He's going to be so embarrassed and so humiliated, he's just going to say, forget it. Let me just remain with this decision. It's not worth coming back. And therefore, says Rabbeinu Gershom, this is something that we need to put a great emphasis on. The Ribono Shel Olam himself takes it seriously. Don't ever allow a person who wants to be engaged in tshuva to feel embarrassed or to feel ashamed. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Yemincha Pshuta L'Kabel Shavim. The Ribono Shel Olam has an outstretched hand for all those who want to sincerely be engaged in this process of tshuva, in this process of coming back and returning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So as we mentioned, there definitely is a great emphasis and great attention that is given to the shame and embarrassment of a person who is trying to figure out how to return. And the reason for that is because the sense of shame and embarrassment that a person can sometimes feel is a very disturbing and distressing feeling. And that's why we do everything we can that for those who are sincere in a meaningful process of tshuva, we do whatever we can to make sure that they don't suffer any embarrassment. We make mention every day in our davening a number of times, Shelo nevosh v'lo nikalem v'lo nikashel le'olam haba, le'olam va'ed. Different variations of that statement, but we say it in Berachas HaShachar, we say it in Ahava Rabbah, we say it in Shmona Esrei, we say it in Berachas HaMazon. It's something that means a lot to us. Shelo nevosh, we shouldn't be embarrassed. V'lo nikashel, v'lo nikalem. That we should never be ashamed, we should never be embarrassed, because embarrassment and shame is a very powerful feeling. When somebody feels embarrassed or shamed, you never know what it can make them do. As we usher in every new month, we refer to that Shabbos as Shabbos Mevarchim. And we have a custom, it's a very old minhag, to recite a beautiful paragraph that we refer to as Birchas HaChodesh. That text goes back in the Gemara in Brachos to the great Rav. It's referred to in the Gemara as Tfilas Rav because he crafted it, he composed it. So my father once told me a story about Rabbi Chalap. I'm sure many of us know Rabbi Zvulun Chalap, and his father was a rabbi in the Bronx. My grandfather was also a rabbi in the Bronx, so my father and Rabbi Chalap grew up right near each other. Rabbi Chalap was older than he was. So my father told me the story that one Shabbos Mevarchim, there was a chazan who came into Rabbi Senior Chalap Shul, and he was davening for the Amud, and he had a beautiful voice, and he got up to Birchas HaChodesh, and he said that we asked for Chayim Sheyesh Bahem Busha Uchlima. And the entire tzibur, the entire congregation started shouting at him. He said the wrong word. Look in the Siddur. It says, Chaim She'en Bahem Busha Uchlima. We ask God for a life where we won't be embarrassed, where we won't be ashamed. And the Chazin was strong in his conviction. He was adamant that he was correct. And he repeated once again, Chaim She'esh Bahem Busha Uchlima. And this argument went back and forth. Is it right? Is it wrong? Is it... Do we want Busha Uchlima? Do we not want Busha Uchlima? What's happening? Turns out the truth is, there are two different minhagim. Some Hungarians have the text, Chaim Sheyesh Behem Busha Uchlima. And most of us have the minhag to say that we ask God, Chaim She'en Behem Busha Uchlima. So it's an amusing story. But the truth is that a healthy dose of Busha Uchlima, a healthy dose of a little bit of shame, is a critically important component to the life of a committed and faithful Jew. A few months ago, there was an interesting article that I read, caught my attention because it was so strange. It was published by CNN on April 14th, 2020. And the title of the article is, We Have Nothing to Hide. Why Dutch People Don't Mind You Peering Into Their Homes. So I'm just going to read you a few excerpts from this unusually bizarre sociological study that was done, and it was conducted in the Netherlands. So listen to this. For many visitors to the Netherlands, one of the great discoveries when wandering through the streets of Amsterdam, or the towns and cities thereof, is that you can often take a look inside people's homes when it gets dark. That's because many Dutch people never close their curtains or blinds. Often, people don't even have curtains or blinds. At a time when coronavirus restrictions are confining people all over the world to their homes, with only a window for contact to the outside world, this national quirk seems even more intriguing. The Dutch themselves don't think it's unusual. It's so interwoven into their culture that researchers have struggled to figure out exactly why people in the Netherlands care so little about their privacy. Those who look for an explanation for this, rather curious, quickly get caught up in major sociological tangles. Is it, I've got nothing to hide? Or is it, look what I've got in my house? Is that the mentality? Is it both? The most popular explanation stems from the Protestant religion tradition of Calvinism, which insists that honest citizens have nothing to hide. They believe that honest citizens have nothing at all to hide. So why would I close my windows? Closing the curtains could indicate otherwise. And by letting people have a look inside of my home, I let them know, look, I am a decent person. The article goes on and on, but I think I've shared enough of the nonsense. But reading this article made me really think a lot about our general attitude of openness and oversharing what goes on in our lives. What is the place of busha uchlima in our life? Does it really make sense that we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chaim She'ein Bahem Busha Uchlima? Do I really want to live a life where I'm never, ever going to feel shame for anything I do? For any action, for any activity that I'm involved with? Is that really healthy? Is that true? Do we really believe in having in a completely open society where everything is out on the table, where everything is open for everyone's interests? Where I have no privacy. Is there anything in my life that I should be ashamed of? The Gemara Maseches Yevamos Daf Ayin Tes says that one of the three characteristics of a Jewish person is Shlosha Shimanim Yesh Ba'umazu. There are three defining characteristics that make up what a Jew is all about, and one of them is that we are Baishanim, that we are ashamed. My father always told me, the Gemara says, that we have an assumption. We have an assumption that Milsa Da'avida Legluye Lo Mishakri Inshi. We have an assumption that if something is going to become public, I'm not going to lie about it. So if I swear under oath in court or in Congress, and the whole world is watching on TV as I give my testimony, there's an assumption, Lo Mishakri Inshi. How could I lie if somebody later on can call me out on that lie? Just wouldn't make sense. That's the assumption the Gemara works off of. And my father always says over, however, if Soloveitchik said that it seems that that assumption is no longer relevant in our generation. Because we have presidents who stand up in front of Congress and who lie openly. A week later, they're proven to be complete liars. And life moves on. Nobody cares. They don't care. Doesn't stop them from speaking at national conventions. Doesn't stop them from going around the world and having speaking engagements and having thousands of people listening to them and being on TV just the next night again, sharing thoughts and feelings about everything going on in the world. There is no shame. There's no busha. There's no embarrassment. You should bury your face in shame after the whole world has just seen what you're all about. And yet that is one of the hallmark characteristics of what a Jew needs to be about. We need to be baishanim. We need to be people who are cognizant of the fact that busha is something that sometimes is healthy. It's sometimes a very important component to all of Jewish life. In fact, the Gemara writes in Maseches Nedarim, Kal ha-mizbayish lo b'mehera huchote. The Gemara says that if somebody feels a sense of shame or embarrassment, it will hold them back from sinning. Because if you know that you're going to be embarrassed from the sin that you're about to commit, that could potentially stop a person. And this is why the Gemara says in Maseches Shabbos, L'charva Yerushalayim, Ela mipnei shelo haya boshes panim lo zeh mizeh. People had no shame, no embarrassment. And when that happens, there's nothing that will stop me from doing exactly what I want. I have nothing to be embarrassed of. I can just be a brazen human being, do exactly what I feel is the right thing or wrong thing to do, and I don't care what everyone thinks. I have no shades on my windows. My life is open. I have nothing to hide. What kind of life is that? What kind of attitude is that? And I think it's important just to learn a little bit from Tanakh and gain an appreciation for the significance of busha, specifically in the context of tshuva and for this time of year. So let's learn together the story. For those who are on Zoom, you know, I'm amazed that before COVID, we never thought of using Zoom. So we have a very nice crowd here in the shul, but 140 people online, and I'm amazed. I'm amazed. The opportunity that we're given of Harbatzos Torah is unbelievable. And I thank all of you for taking the time to join us. I hope that you will take the opportunity to join us for all the other programs that we have coming up in the next couple of days. Rabbi Fran will be giving his Tshuva Drasha next Tuesday evening. Next Thursday evening, we're going to be having a Kumsitz with words of insight and inspiration with my father and Rabbi Willig, Rabbi Mordechai Willig. That will be outside in the tent at 8 p.m. Next Matzai Shabbos, Rabbi Axelrod will be giving his general Shabbos Shuva Drasha, but because we have some difficulties this year, it's going to be on Matzai Shabbos. You're all encouraged to attend either on Zoom or here in the shul. So this is a unique and very special opportunity. So let's learn together the story of Achaz. Achaz was one of the Jewish kings. Achaz was Melech Yehuda. At a certain point, the Jewish community split, and there were two different kingdoms. One of them was Melech Yehuda, and Achaz ben Yosam was the king of Yehuda. To say the very least, Achaz was a Rasha Marusha. Achaz was a horrible person. So the story begins that Achaz was confronted by one of the Nevi'im, by Yeshaya HaNavi, and he was told that there was going to be all kinds of war and conflict in the region. But the advice that he was given by the Navi was, Hishamer v'hashket, lay low, stay out of the conflict, it's not your problem, everything's going to die down, and you just stay out of it. No reason to be afraid, no reason to be shaken up, no reason to do anything. You just stay out of it. Achaz was a defiant personality. He said, I know better than the Navi. Even though God gave a message to the Navi, I seem to know better. And therefore he did things his own way. And he decides to go and send a delegation to Melech Ashur, to the king of Assyria, because he wanted to make some kind of peace treaty with him. He was afraid. And look what he does. Let's read the psukim together. This is in number Vav on the source sheet, Melachim Beis, Perek Tazayin, psukim Zayin through Tes. He sends a messenger by Yishlach Achaz Malachim El Tiglas Pleser Melech Ashur Lemar. He sends a message to the king of Ashur. Avdecha b'ni ani. Not only does he say, I want to make peace with you, but he says, I am your servant. And he butters up to him and he just says, whatever you want, I'll give you. I just want to make peace. Vayikach Achaz es hakesev es hazov hanimtza beis Hashem uva'otros beis hamelech vayishlach lemelech Ashur shochad. As a bribe, Achaz sends all of the riches of the Beis Hamikdash, all of the items of value that were in the Beis Hamikdash, he sends them off as a gift to the Melech Ashur. He clears out the Beis Hamikdash. All of this in the background of the Navi who told him, I communicated with the Ribbono Shel Olam about this. I spoke with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And God said, we have nothing to worry about. Hishamer v'hashket. Just stay calm. Everything will be fine. He was not willing to accept it. He defied the Navi. Yeshaya HaNavi writes that God will bring upon you, Achaz, and your generation, unprecedented, unparalleled horrors. You will have so much calamity. You will have so much catastrophe. You will have so much devastation. You're going to have floods and hurricanes, and you're going to have death, and you're going to have just a horrific situation that will go on here. You, Achaz, are going to have a major problem because you defied the word of the Navi, because you did not listen. Outside of that, Achaz was also a reprehensible human being. Achaz, the Navi tells us, if you look at number Ches, Gamas beno hevir ba'esh ketovos hagoyim. Achaz decided to sacrifice his children. He threw them into a fire, and he sacrificed them to another religion. In Divrei Hayamim, the pasuk says, "Hu hikdir begay ben hinom, vayaver as banav ba'esh ketovos hagoyim asher horish Hashem ipnei bnei Yisrael." Achaz went above and beyond. He served Avodah Zarah. He sacrificed his children to Avodah Zarah. That's the kind of person that he was. As if you haven't heard enough yet about the personality Achaz and the terrible choices and decisions that he made in his life, the Navi then goes on to describe the character of Achaz in greater detail. And the Navi then tells us in Malachim Beis, Perek Tazayin, Vayizbach, Vayakter, Babamos, Val Hagavos, Vesachas, Kaledra Anan. Achaz went and served offerings to Avodah Zarah all over the place, all over Eretz Yisrael. He set up a Mizbeach to serve other gods. Uvachal Yirva'ir LeYehuda Asa Bamos. He engineered the building of Bamos, of false places of worship. Lekater l'Elohim acherim v'yachas es Hashem Elokei Avosav, and he angered the Ribono Shel Olam so much. Not only that, the Navi Yeshaya tells us that Achaz also decided levatel es haavoda. Achaz locked the doors of the Beis Hamikdash. Achaz was a Jewish king. There was no pressure from outside sources. Achaz locked the doors to the Beis Hamikdash, and he said, nobody will come serve God in the Beis Hamikdash. Vayesov Achaz as Klei Beis Elokim, Vayekatzis as Kol Beis Elokim, Vayizkar as Dalsos Beis Hashem. He cleared out the Beis Hamikdash, locked the doors, and prevented the Jewish people from connecting with God. Which is why when Achaz died, he was not buried with all other kings the way kings are supposed to be buried. Not only that, the Gemara tells us in Maseches Brachos that his own son, Chizkiyo HaMelech, Chizkiyo was known to be a very pious and righteous Jew. But the Gemara tells us that Chizkiyo HaMelech girer atzmos aviv b'mita shel chavalim. Chizkiyo HaMelech, his son, is supposed to be respectful of his father, and certainly when his father is the king. Chizkiyo HaMelech dragged his father's body through the streets because he said, my father is such a despicable human being. Let me at least get him a kapara. Look what he did. Look how much he destroyed the entire Israel, the entire Jewish people. Chizkiyo HaMelech then comes into the leadership position. And the Navi Yeshaya describes how Ha'am HaHolchim HaChoshech Ra'u Or Gadol. The entire Jewish people was now given the opportunity to have great light when Chizkiyo became the king, because Achaz brought so much darkness into the world. So now we know the personality that we're dealing with. The evil, malicious, corrupt, vile human being. Which leads the Gemara and Sanhedrin to ask the following question. We know we're told in the Mishnah and Sanhedrin, Kol Yisrael yesh lahem chelek la'olam haba. Every Jew has a special designated place in the world to come. What many of us might not know is, the Mishnah then goes on and says there are a few people who do not have a place in the world to come. And the Mishnah says a few examples of individuals who were so horrible that they don't deserve a portion in the world to come. And the Gemara then asks, on the second side of the sheet, Mipnei ma lo manu es achas. When we list a few individuals who are not deserving of Olam Haba, why was Achaz not included in that list? Why was Achaz not included in those people who don't deserve a portion in the world to come? Look what he did in his life. Look how much devastation and destruction he brought onto the Jewish people. How does he have a place in Olam Haba? What right does he have to get anywhere near Olam Haba? How could it be? And the Gemara there goes through a lengthy discussion to which Rabbi Yosef responds, Mepnei Shahayelo Boshes Panim Yeshayahu. Yeshayahu HaNavi came and admonishes Achaz. And Yeshayahu HaNavi stands there and is about to give him Musar. And Achaz covers his face because he's so ashamed, he's so embarrassed. So yes, says the Gemara, after all the mistakes that Achaz made, after all the terrible choices, after all the destruction that he caused, Achaz still has a portion in Olam Haba. You know why? Because Chayim Sheyesh Bahem Busha Uchlima. Because Achaz still had that sense of shame and embarrassment. When a great person came to admonish him, when a great person came to censure him, he understood that he had to be embarrassed and ashamed of that. And as a result, Achaz has a place in Olam Haba, which is why the Gemara says in Maseches Brachos, Kala osa dvar avera umizbayish bo. Anyone who does an avera and is embarrassed of what he has done, mochlin lo akol avonosav, he will be granted a mechila for all of the terrible things that he has done. Mochlin lo akol avonosav. This is why we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu every day in our slichos and throughout the Yamim Noraim, Lecha Hashem atzdaka velanu boshes hapanim. God, you are right and we are embarrassed, we are ashamed. Yes, when we say we don't want to be embarrassed in life, we understand that. We don't want to be embarrassed. Shaloni vosh, veloni kalem, veloni kashel. But at the same time, we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lecha Hashem atzdaka velanu boshes hapanim. We have a sense of shame and embarrassment for the things that we have done wrong, and that's such a critical component to everything that Tshuva is about. It's an indispensable part, it's an indispensable ingredient and factor of the entire process of Tshuva. I see we're running out of time because the shul has to be locked up, but you can read later on Rabbeinu Yonah, where he writes that this is so integral to everything that Tshuva is about, to everything that we aspire to as we go through the process of repentance. Rabbi Niyona explains, I put it both in Hebrew and in English so that everyone can understand it, where he writes that having shame and embarrassment, having an understanding that we need to be ashamed of decisions that we made, of destruction that we have caused, is so critical to the process of Tshuva. It's so much a part of everything that we need to do right now. So let me just close with one tefillah. There's a tefillah that was written by the great Rab Nassan Nata Mishinava. Who is that? He sounds like a Hasidic Rebbe, but he's not. Rab Nassan Nata Mishinava was one of the great students of Rab Chaim Vital. Rab Chaim Vital was the student of the Ariza. So this is from the school of the Mekubalim. And there's an amazingly beautiful tefillah that he wrote. Some Siddurim have this prayer. And I was inspired when I first saw this. And with this, we're going to close. He writes the following. El Elokei HaRuchos L'chol Basar Shalit Be'elyonim U'Batachtonim. He addresses HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he says, you, the one who rules, who reigns over the heavens above and our world, Tein Bikoach L'Avodasecha U'Liyirasecha. Give me the strength to serve you, to be connected with you. Ulatarashecha sheyukuyam bi mikra shekasev, b'chal eis yihiyu b'gadecha levanim, v'shemen arosha al yechzar. And then he writes, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'ehye kli muchan lekabel nefesh ruach u'neshama asher nafachta bi. Allow my physical body to be worthy of the Holy Spirit, of the Holy Neshama, that you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, have given me. Kidei she'echzar la'asid l'mekar she'chatzavta nafshi v'ruchi v'nishmasi misham. In order that someday I will be able to give my Neshama back in good conscience to the place where it came from. And he asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu, such a beautiful tefillah, give me the ability to make the decisions in my physical life. Give me the strength and the fortitude that will allow me to make sure that my neshama will not be embarrassed to return to you. Shelo akalem ba'olam hazeh velo evosh le'olam haba. V'lios muchan umazuman me'osam hanochalim lachazaz benoam Hashem ulevaker behechalo kulo omer kavod. Allow me to live a life where I connect with you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where I'm going to be able to be close with you because of the type of life that I live, because of the choices that I make, because of the decisions that I'm involved with. Allow me to live a life where I will never have to be embarrassed, Yes, we go out of our way. Like the Torah says, Onas Devarim is a very serious crime. We're never allowed to make a person feel ashamed or embarrassed. We do whatever we can to encourage somebody to be engaged and involved in the process of tshuva. But I as an individual, need to have that critical component in my own life to understand that personal busha uchlima for the decisions and the actions that I take is something that every good Jew needs to have. On the one hand, again, we say, Chaim she'ein b'hem busha uchlima. We don't want to ever have to be subjected to shame or embarrassment that is thrust upon us by others. But at the same time, we also need to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chaim she'yesh b'hem busha uchlima. In a world which is so open, in a world where there's so much that is being shared, I think they call it oversharing, in the culture in which we live, where nobody seems to be embarrassed about anything that they do, about anything that they say, and they somehow just weasel out of it whenever the time comes that they need to do so, we all need to remind ourselves of this healthy dose of busha uchlima that is demanded, that is the mandate of every Jew. At our core, we are rachmanim bayshanim v'gomlei chasadim. We are people who have a sense of shame and embarrassment when we make a mistake. And now at this point of the year, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the opportunity to rectify those mistakes. Not only does He give us that option, not only does He give us that gift, but atah nosein yad laposhim. What that means is, like the lifeguard who sticks out the lifeboat, or sticks out his hand to save the person who's drowning in deep water. Atah nosein yad laposhim, you HaKadosh Baruch Hu stick out and outstretch your hand and your arm to assist all of us in this process of tshuva. And all we need to do is take advantage of Dirshu Hashem Behi Matzo, of feeling the presence of the Ribono Shel Olam, in particular at this time of year. It's there throughout our lives, but it's more concentrated in this time of year, to take advantage of all that He gives us, to come closer to Him, to have that sense of Busha Uchlima which will propel us forward, which will make us feel only more worthy of being connected and related to the Ribono Shel Olam Himself. And let me just very humbly wish all of you who are here, both online, and certainly all of those who are here in person as well, and took the effort and time to be here, Iksiva v'chasima tova, we have so much to daven for this year. We have so much to daven for every year, but in particular this year, when we see how fragile life can be, when we see how the whole world and all of its assumptions can turn on us so quickly, Chadesh Yameinu Kekedem, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, bring us back to days of normalcy. Bring us back to days that we remember as being a part of our lives, as the normal rhythm of life. And we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to accept our tshuva. We ask Him to bless us with a Shnas Chaim V'Shalom, a Shnas Geula V'Yeshua, V'Yevaser Lanu, B'Soros Tovos, Yeshuas V'Nachamos, Amen V'Amen. I wish all of you Eksiva V'Chasima Tova, and thank you again for coming.